News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
About, I'd say, 13 minutes away from a rendition of the Pledge of Allegiance you do not want to miss on this 4th of July Friday. It's 4th of July weekend, of course. 4th of July landing on Sunday. It's going to be recognized by a lot of us on Monday as we take some time off and hang out with the family and have a big time on the 5th of July this year.
Yeah, now a good time to tell you. You know, we don't take off very often here on FM Talk 106.5, but Monday, in the observance of Independence Day, we wanted to play a program that's close to all of our hearts here at FM Talk 106.5, and it's a program, a charity we've been associated with for years now. That's the Fisher House, which Sean describes it in the best way, where he says, you know what Ronald McDonald House does for parents of children that are born prematurely? Mm-hmm. I think we all, for the most part, know what Ronald McDonald House does and how they assist people, get them closer to the hospitals where they need to be. Well, this is what Fisher House does for families of veterans who are coming home injured or you know, otherwise incapacitated for one reason or the other. Mm-hmm. And Fisher House, the money that you send to them goes towards our veterans. And with this being Independence Day weekend, you know, we like Fisher House all year round, but put more of an emphasis on what they do in on weekends like this. So coming up Monday, we will air an Independence Day edition of Fisher House programming. If you're wanting to give to Fisher House, if you're wanting to give in general, Fisher House is a great charity because you know that your dollars will be well spent. And, you know, there's plenty of charity rating websites online, and Fisher House rates well in all of those because we all know there are scams out there. Fisher House certainly not in that category, but encourage you to check that out if you have a chance on Monday.
I never knew there was this foundation as well is worth remembering, y'all. And if you are patriotic, the Navy SEAL Foundation has been incredible with me, Zach's mother, Zach's brother, Joseph, and the way that they've treated us, family of someone who was suddenly sick and then sadly, tragically passed away. But to the way that they have treated us, it's the Navy SEAL Foundation. You can look them up as well. I don't want to take away from Fisher House.
No doubt.
That program, that'll be on all morning on Monday. But I do want to point out that the Navy SEAL Foundation, which I did not know existed until a month and a half ago.
And boy, did they step up.
Have they stepped up? And they're also making sure that we get up to Arlington for the interment on the 12th of August. So anyway, just another thought of where you want to send your money on this holiday weekend. If it's $20, man, Navy SEAL Foundation, Fisher House, let them know that you appreciate what they do. And look at Navy SEAL Foundation as well and see what they do.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty remarkable. 10 minutes after 8 o'clock on FM Talk 106.5. What's going on, man?
Well, so as you noted, coming up next segment, we'll play a bit of audio, Pledge of Allegiance, that was recorded at the Arwig household.
It'll be great.
Worked long on this. I think you'll love it. We'll also lay out the Independence Day celebrations, which began last night with the beach ball drop at the wharf.
It did.
We'll have something going on.
Did you see the news coverage of that by Channel 5, by the way?
I did not.
Because so they showed the nets where all the balls were in.
Yeah.
You know, because yesterday you reported they were dropping them from helicopters, something like that. And I'll say, I don't think that's the way they do it.
They're dropping them from the new truck bridge over the river.
So they're not, it's not like they're all that, they weren't suspended all that high in the air, I guess what I'm saying. So as soon as I saw the nets and the balls in there, I was just thinking of you and your incorrect interpretation of what was happening at the war. They dropped them from the sky. No, it's not really the sky.
Technically.
Well, the sky, if you consider the sky 12 feet off the ground,
so,
I guess so.
And you got, you know, Sims, I think, is today. Anyway, we'll lay all that out next hour. But I'm interested in talking to folks who traveled eastbound yesterday on I-10 or apparently even westbound.
Did you see the text that said that they were also diverting traffic westbound?
Yes. Yeah, so some of the big news from yesterday, and John Sharp with great reporting, as always, on AL.com about this, that ALDOT is being criticized by local leaders, and not so much criticized by local leaders, but certainly being criticized by truckers and the State Trucking Association because I don't know if this was on a whim, this decision, or just poorly laid out in advance, but they decided to shut travel through the Wallace Tunnel to trucks yesterday.
Doesn't it feel like something that a press release would have been out Monday and we'd be talking about it all week leading up to it, so everybody was aware of what was about to happen?
Yeah, and Monday seems like, you know, late. Mm-hmm. Now, I would have put it out a week ago, at the very least. But that's not what ALDOT did. They said the reason was to, quote, facilitate the large volume of holiday traffic crossing the I-10 Bayway. This is the first time this has been done, in my recollection, for anything other than hurricanes. Usually they only make this decision. Last time was in 2018 when, what was it, Hurricane Michael, when it slammed into Florida, they did this. But this was strictly because of the expected travelers. ALDOT said they anticipated 90 to 100,000 vehicles traveling through the tunnel. And so the rerouting began yesterday at around noon and ran until 6 p.m. And they're going to do the same exact thing today. Eastbound trucks were diverted off I-10 at exit 26B and then down to Water Street and then worked their way up to Cochran-Africatown Bridge and then got back on, I would guess, over there by Felix's, as we were talking about earlier.
Yeah, if you're along the Cochran Causeway, I don't believe you can get back onto the Bayway until you get midway, and that's the entrance ramp that you can get on. But
This will be similar to the Truck River Bridge, the way they've explained how that will work. And they'll do kind of the same thing, except the trucks won't be going on Cochran-Africatown Bridge. It'll be traversing over the new truck bridge, but then getting back on to the Bayway, which will then be a three-lane Bayway on each side. So six lanes total, but same Bayway width with three lanes.
Yeah.
And major traffic, I would assume. So Mark Colson, who's been on the station before, he's the president and CEO with Alabama's Trucking Association, he said the decision that was made was implemented very poorly and created some serious safety hazards, one of which was an officer standing in the middle of two lanes of the interstate, which was not safe for him or surrounding motorists and caused unnecessary and unsafe backups. If you saw that yesterday, an officer diverting traffic in the middle of the interstate.
Almost like at a school zone?
Yeah, I'd love to hear about that. That sounds very dangerous. Colson said, closing a major interstate artery to commercial traffic is a major decision. It should be communicated in advance to all stakeholders so that proper safety protocols and rerouting instructions can be implemented effectively. It's our hope that if this decision is made in the future, more thought is given to safety and planning and communication. Now, this isn't rare that it seems like decisions made regarding the Wallace Tunnel or basically Mobile Bay from the state just come at a moment's notice. Or you think about the entire toll fiasco a couple years ago, and then leading now into this Truck River Bridge. They don't treat they act like this is, you know, Schillinger or something. Highway 45, even though they completely neglect 45 as well. But I-10 is a huge deal, and not just for us locally, but for truckers, everybody traveling through
LA to Jacksonville.
Yeah, so, you know, whether you want them to close the tunnel to trucks or not, you have to admit they should lay this out a little bit better, and that would be a much more safe way to do things than they've done here the last couple days.
Remember when the roads were being repaved? That was a mess. I-10, I-65, and they had the debris was shooting up into our windshields and all that. That was crazy. But yesterday was kind of odd. I know we have somebody that left a voicemail about all this that actually drove that route yesterday.
Yeah, so here's a voicemail. I believe it was David that left this voicemail. And by the way, you can leave a talkback or voicemail on the FM Talk 106.5 app. Microphone at the bottom of the screen.
As you guys know, I drive all over the area for a living. Even though it's not the big trucks, I do drive. And I can tell you it only made things marginally better when they were diverting the trucks. Because once you got through the tunnel, you had to deal with those trucks getting back on the interstate on the Bayway, and it just moved the congestion further east.
It's kind of what we've been talking about with this bridge.
Exactly.
Danny said he travels every day, Daphne to Mobile and back. He said, going home yesterday, traffic was heavy, of course, but moved so much more quickly without the trucks. Made a huge difference. We've had a lot of people weigh in. We'll get into more of this later.
We've got a rendition of the Pledge of Allegiance you do not want to miss. That is minutes away after the break with Dan and Dalton. Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. Good morning from Dan, Brandon, Dalton, Orwick, FM Talk 106.5. At 8:21, Friday morning, Dr. Bill's weekend weather scale is in. Some of the 1.5s?
Yeah, we ended up at a 1.5480, so not great. Sounds like things should let up at night, though, and Sunday could end up being our best day.
Yeah, he was kind of... So. It has to do with this front. If it moves off the coast, then we could have a sunny Sunday. Mm-hmm. If it stays stationary where it is, then we'll probably have a stormy Sunday.
And one more big congratulations to Garrett Wade, the winner of our Let Freedom Ring
Talk
contest.
Talk about all he won, man. Oh. And I love the fact that he won something he's really going
to
use.
Yeah, yeah. So I just went back to make sure we've got everything rounded up because he's headed this way. And what a prize package. So he's... let's see here. So he won from Mobile Shooting Center, from actually Sticks River Shooting Center, a $300 package worth of like ammo and supplies, some really, really cool stuff there, which we've seen the value on that rise over the last few months, haven't we? Also from Yellowhammer Fishing, he won a 12-foot pedal-driven kayak, which is what he said he was going to be big-time user of, which is great. Your CBD store of West Mobile out there on Hillcrest, $300 gift certificate from them. Also, Lolabelle's $300 to use at the pet hotel, grooming, all the great things they do over at Lolabelle's off of Dauphin. And at Chavez Furniture, a portable pizza oven and some more goodies from Chavez.
Cool.
So lots of cool things going to Garrett. He won the grand prize package, and we'll be talking to him a little bit later this morning.
Hey, big news, by the way. Mobile County's got a brand-new messaging alert system. You can sign up for it and get the alerts to all this, and it's really easy. Dalton and I have both done it. It's pretty cool. Text Mobile Alert, that's one word, to 226-787. It was purchased by the Mobile County Communications District 911 Board, and it's going to be made available for public entities who would like to communicate to the community quickly. And you can also create your own personal profile. It can contain emergency alerts and health and medical information, household information, and more. And once you've signed up, you're going to get these alerts like weather updates, road closures, extreme traffic backups. We know about that. We've been talking about that all morning. And first responder activity, even parade information during Mardi Gras. It's not going to be used for commercials or political statements or anything like that. It's strictly going to be used, and it's been designed for public officials to notify the community of needed information in a timely manner. So it's brand new. Mobile County Messaging Alert System. Text Mobile Alert to 226-787. You can sign up today.
All right. So Dan was talking about this earlier. I've kind of been working on the finishing touches all morning. Mm-hmm. You know, Independence Day coming up this Sunday. I'm trying my best and will continue to try in this crazy nation now to raise my children to be patriots. You know, whether they eventually decide to serve their country, which as a dad, the thought of that definitely scares me, mm-hmm. or whatever they end up deciding to do with their lives, I want them to love America and love how much, you know, better America is than so many other places and how fortunate they are. I think a big part of that is, you know, teaching them some of the things that we should be doing as Americans that are now controversial all of a sudden. And I would include the Pledge of Allegiance as being a controversial subject around some family
Please.
Tables now, as disgusting as that sounds.
Please.
So my two-year-old, she's now 2 years and 4 months old, Isabella, my firstborn.
Some would say too young for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Some would. Sweaty baby, as you may know. We've been giving updates on her now for over a
She's
year
dumb.
Almost. And we did a little recital yesterday of the Pledge of Allegiance. And, of course, me being on radio, had to do a little post-editing, put some background
Good
behind
job.
It. But the words are all hers. And so without further ado, here is Isabella doing her rendition of the Pledge of Allegiance.
Absolute
USA!
Master. masterpiece from Dalton Orwig and his young daughter, Isabella. I told you we had our Pepsi Pledge Pals. Never one that young. Because they would do it somewhat, almost like live on the air, you know. And we didn't have the chance to do all the editing. Great job. Wonderful. We've got to keep that in the archives forever. And you'll be able to play that for her when she's 17, 18.
Yeah.
See if she gets a kick out of that.
Yeah, I already sent it to the grandparents and said they didn't know whether to laugh or cry. Mm. I said, why not both? Right?
Absolutely.
So, that was very cool, and that'll be worth keeping, I think.
Oh, no doubt.
And the flyover, actually, I added that in after the fact. That did not happen above the Orwick household yesterday.
The one time.
We did have a flyover.
Explain that flyover. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, so my brother is an instructor pilot for the Air Force out in Del Rio, Texas, and he'll soon be getting his, I was going to say marching orders. I guess it'd be flying orders.
Right.
He'll be headed elsewhere in the United States. But over Memorial Day weekend, Memorial Day, they had a big event out in Miami, an air show. Really, it was an all-military show. They had all branches, and they do this huge thing over in Miami Beach. My brother was able to be a part of that this year. And on his way back to Del Rio, he let me know, as they were flying, he said, hey, about an hour in 30 minutes, look up above your house. And sure enough, he, flying tandem with another pilot, flying side by side, flew right over the Orwick house. On time, too, exactly when he said they would.
So he had the coordinates and buzzed over your house.
That's exactly right. So that was very cool also, my own personal flyover, although it did not sound like the flyover from that video.
By the way, let me see if I got this right. So the Wharf had an event last night. Mm-hmm. It's not the last of their events, but they kind of kicked things off on Thursday night with the beach ball drop and with tons of fireworks going on out there.
Mm-hmm. Even camel rides, which nothing says America like camel rides.
Tell me about camel rides. Where are they? At the Wharf?
That was at the Wharf, apparently, yeah.
You ever been on a camel?
Maybe it is. Was I on a camel at a circus? If I was, it didn't make that much of an impression.
Okay. So I was on a camel one time down. Here's a random story. I once rode a camel in Robertsdale. You're like, what? But I was at the Robertsdale Feed and Seed.
As one does. You rode a camel when you were at the Robertsdale Feed and Seed.
It was a big special day. You know, Randy Bergen's involved with those folks down there. I think he's got...
Was it his camel?
Randy's camel is a blonde. Oh. This was a brunette camel. So, it wasn't his camel. Also, I once rode an elephant in a parade in downtown Columbus, Georgia.
Mm.
And I swear to God, I had to burn the pants when I got off. They were so... And the elephants, by the way, if you ever have the opportunity to ride an elephant, be careful. They've got these prickly little... almost a porcupine on the hairs that aren't not necessarily detectable until you climb on.
Yeah, I didn't know
and
that.
You're like, hey, that's you're hurting.
That's to keep birds from eating them.
I guess so.
I didn't know elephants were allowed in the state of Georgia after these last few years. College football.
I got it. The elephant's prickly hairs hurting my private area. And there's your story. It is 8:30 at FM Talk 106.5, Dan and Dalton.
You know, sometimes I wish Kane's traffic was a little longer than 30 seconds. Some context to the lady sitting in the intersection. That'd be great.
He kind of left us with that, Kane. Like, we got to figure out that story on our own. I guess, you know, he's restricted to about 30 seconds. So there you go.
8:37, FM Talk 106.5. Let's check in with Louis Arata at McConnell Automotive. Hey, Louis.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, we're having a fantastic Friday here at FM Talk 106.5 and a big holiday weekend on the way. Lots of traffic will be out and about. And a reminder, you know, McConnell, great for new or pre-owned vehicles, but your body shop is also top-notch. You there, Louis?
Hey, how are you? We had a little problem last night and the police walked in. I was kind of answering a question.
When Louis's around and the police walk in, usually not a... No, I was joking, Louis. Just messing with you.
it's not a good sign.
So, yeah, I wanted you to tell everybody about the body shop as we head into this holiday weekend.
Oh, man. It looks like hopefully the rain's laying off where everybody have a great weekend. But if you have that unfortunate accident, don't forget we got a best body shop in Mobile. They'll take care of all your needs and everything. And if you get that total car, just check us out online at McConnellAutomotive.com. We're going to be here all Saturday, all day today and all day Saturday. We're going to be off Monday, and we have some barbecue over here Saturday. Mm. So I hope everybody comes by and has fun, says hi, and everybody hope everybody have a safe 4th of July. And thanks for everybody in June. We had a great June. We got some great trades. And like I said, you can check us out online at McConnellAutomotive.com. Or come see us.
All right, good stuff. Thank you, Louie. Have a great weekend.
Good stuff. Thank you.
That is Louie Arata. Go see him at McConnell Automotive, Dolphin Street, just east of I-65, online, McConnellAutomotive.com.
And again, Louie Arata has been arrested once again. This news just in.
911, what's
your emergency? Louie Arata being hauled off to jail.
He finished that conversation with us from under his desk once he saw the police.
This information update brought
to you. Hang on a second. Stop all. There we go. Okay, so Louie Arata is has not been arrested. We take that back. Let's see.
911, what's your emergency?
Yeah, leave Louie alone. That's our emergency. All right, so where do we... Oh, first of all, may I...
Please.
The responses we got on the text line to Little Izzy's Pledge of Allegiance,
mm-hmm.
Just completely over the top. Everybody loves it. Awesome. Randall says, Dalton, you made me cry.
Wow.
Tell Izzy thanks. Very nice. Also, coming from a vet... The Pledge of Allegiance this morning is one of the best things I've heard in a long time. Thanks for making my day. Over and over again, people just love what Izzy did with the Pledge of Allegiance and what you did, too, in dressing it all up. But it was wonderful. So great response on the text line with that.
Yeah, I appreciate it. That's awesome. And I just hope that, and I know, you know, preaching to the choir on this station for sure, but you see kind of what's going on with the Olympics, with the Olympians, and how they seem to treat the flag and the anthem nowadays.
One in particular, yeah.
It ain't just one, let me tell you. She's just the first one that was mm-hmm. on the podium that did that this year. But there's a lot of youth that are just growing up with, you know, not feeling that America is in any way different or better than so many other countries where, trust me, things are much, much worse off. And again, preaching to the choir, I just think if we taught everybody a little bit more respect for America and for the flag, they'd probably have more respect for their fellow Americans. Wouldn't you think that'd kind of follow through?
But I think it goes hand in hand, no doubt about it.
No doubt. You know, the other big story here, actually, we wanted to tell you about the fireworks shows and the other events that we have coming up this weekend. And then we'll get back into the big conversation about diverting trucks out of the Wallace Tunnel this holiday weekend. But last night was the, as we talked about, the camel rides, but the beach ball drop at the wharf, and Orange Beach had fireworks last night. So that's what kind of got it all started. Then today you've got Sims, I believe. Yeah. Sims today starting at 5 p.m. at Mary G. Montgomery. We'll have live music, food, arts and crafts, inflatables, and wrap it all up with fireworks after dark. That is, of course, if the weather acts right tonight. That'll be the Sims Independence Day celebration. Bayou LaBattery will have their family fun day tomorrow being July the 3rd, 3 p.m. till dusk at Rolston Park on Coden Belt Road. They said you can picnic with your family and then a free fireworks show at dusk. They'll have music, watermelon, and hot dogs for all to enjoy. City of Chickasaw will have their Independence Day celebration on Independence Day. They said they'll have some patriotic music and you could tune into a localized station like they have in mm-hmm. some of these events, and you'll yep. be able to listen to patriotic music while watching the fireworks at 9 p.m. July 4th at Miller Park. They said a bigger celebration for Founders Day to celebrate the city of Chickasaw's 75th anniversary coming up as well.
In Fairhope, they're thinking out of the box, Dalton. They're having their 4th of July celebration on the 4th of July. Anyway, they're going to have the fireworks display and everything in a 4th of July concert as well in the city of Fairhope. Meanwhile, back on the app, mm-hmm. you guys are letting us know what you think. Leaving us text voice messages, I should say, on the app, including one about the fireworks.
Yeah, so somebody leaving this for us earlier.
Morning, Dan and Dalton. Just wanted to wish everybody a happy 4th of July and wanted to make a quick comment about the rain we got coming in this weekend. At least we don't have 120-degree temperatures. Everything's dry where you can't shoot fireworks off. Be a little safer, hopefully. Mm. Won't set your neighbor's house on fire or... Have the fire department coming out to ruin your little get-together.
Mm.
Y'all have a safe one. Thank you for what y'all do. We appreciate you.
Thank you,
my man. So that is really taking the positive approach, considering it might be kind of wet this weekend, but if it's wet, less chance of anything, any kind of fire getting out of control with fireworks.
Doesn't mean the cops won't be called to your Independence Day party, but at least the fire engines won't have to show up for firework fires.
You know, and it used to be...
You know, he's, of course, pointing to out west.
Exactly. When he said 120 degrees, that would be kind of like a tongue-in-cheek joke about how hot it could possibly get, and you think, well, it's never going to get that hot. It got that hot in Canada.
In Canada.
All places.
So they've got to be disappointed. They won't get to shoot fireworks off for Independence. And we're talking about Canada. But yeah, it's not just that, but the drought out west as well.
Yeah.
So, and that's what the feds are saying is the reason they won't let Governor Kristi Noem and crew shoot off fireworks at Mount Rushmore like they did last year. And she's been pushing back on that. But
that's national parks, right? Have said no go with the fireworks.
And, you know, there's probably going to be some idiots out in California, you know. There's idiots everywhere, but somebody's
going to
be lighting some fireworks in that drought-stricken 140-degree Fahrenheit weather out there. So
careful. And also over the weekend, is the, I might have missed this, Grand Bay Watermelon Festival?
Let me check here.
I don't know about that. I don't know how I missed that. I thought that was always on the 4th of July, too, but maybe not.
Not seeing it on our little list here from WKRG, but we didn't mention Cooper Riverside. Mobile's big celebration is Sunday 4 until 10 p.m. is what's scheduled. And then at night, the Mobile Pops will begin playing patriotic music at 7 o'clock until 8:30, and then fireworks show with accompaniment from the Mobile Pops. That's set to begin at 9 p.m. on Sunday night.
That should be pretty cool.
Admission
downtown.
Free, by the way.
Right on the water. And Dr. Bill did say, you know, and he's talking about this weather, afternoon showers are probably what we're looking at. And by the time we do get to nighttime, more than likely things will kind of calm down without the heat of the day. And we won't be we won't have the problems of fireworks being rained out, which is what everybody is hoping, you know, is not going to happen, because it's once a year that we have this 4th of July celebration. This is it. This is America's birthday, and we look forward to it so much. And you look at all these different communities doing these fireworks in different ways and different times and all, but it is, in a way, so uniting, where everybody is together for one reason, and that is to honor the country of the United States of America. It's
pretty cool. Thanks, Josh, sending us a message. Grand Bay Watermelon Festival, they were asking for volunteers for tomorrow. For parking, 9:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. for the festival. So you're right, Dan. Dead on. It's like you know this town or something.
I've been to that festival a time or two. I'm going to talk about trucks on the bridge, trucks on the bayway, trucks in the tunnel or not. That's all on the way. Still a lot of reaction about Izzy's Pledge of Allegiance on the text line. Pretty cool. It meant a lot to a lot of people, a lot of our listeners. So, good going, Dalton. I knew that was going to be a hit. If you missed it, we're going to post it. I guess Leanna will post
it. Yeah, Leanna's working on that now, posting it online. So you should be able to check it out there.
On our Facebook page, I guess.
Yeah, we'll put it on our Facebook page and maybe even in podcasts as well. So if you check it out there. You know, we started this hour and a big conversation we were having, throughout the 6 and 7 o'clock hours. If y'all didn't know, by the way, Mobile Morning starts at 6 every weekday morning, so you can catch us starting then. But we were talking about the diverting trucks, big trucks, off of I-10 at exit 26B going eastbound, putting them onto Water Street, and then working their way up to Cochrane Africatown Bridge, and just having, I guess, standard vehicles traveling through the Wallace Tunnel. Now, I asked earlier whether they were also diverting RVs and fifth wheels and big boats being towed by trucks.
I don't think so.
And it doesn't sound like they were. And a lot of comments on that this morning. It's almost like a practice run for what things may be like when and if the truck bridge is eventually built.
I just, you know, we've been chewing on this thing for a couple of hours, but I just thought about one thing that I don't think we've discussed. Okay, so you take the big trucks off of I-10, put them on Water Street, send them north I-165, Africatown Bridge on and on, they come back that way. It's a long way to go to get to the same place, isn't it?
Yeah.
How about Water Street? Out of the blue, a street in downtown Mobile was then overly congested.
Yeah.
Nobody saw that coming.
Mm-hmm.
Was there any police presence on the ground there on Water Street to make sure everything was okay? That, you know, that was just, if you're sending them to Water Street, that's where they are now.
Mm-hmm.
And so we could have had some problems with traffic downtown.
Yeah, good question.
Because you have two or three lights on Water Street before you get to I-165.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah, and think of the surprise for people that normally travel, like you said,
right,
on Water Street or over Cochrane Aftertown Bridge. They think that's like they've got the easy way.
What the heck's going on?
And then all of a sudden, you got trucks everywhere.
Right.
Matt said, I wonder who ALDOT is going to blame when there are wrecks and slowdowns over this weekend. You're a fool if you think it's going to change just because you're rerouting the big trucks off of there. I read Danny's text earlier. I'll read it again. He said he travels every day from Daphne to Mobile and back. And he said, going home yesterday, traffic was heavy, of course, but moved so much more quickly without the trucks. Danny says it made a huge difference. And let's see here.
Now, who was it that left the voicemail and said it did not make a big difference?
David.
David said that the trucks eventually came back onto the Bayway.
So,
that would have been midway down on, across the causeway, that midway ramp coming back up.
Yeah, so when they merge back on, you're just creating the bottleneck down there.
Exactly.
And that brings to mind, you know, the plans for this truck bridge. They're going to do basically the same thing as far as getting the trucks back onto I-10. Except they will be merging into a now three-lane Bayway. Same width, but three lanes. And then, I don't think they have plans, if they have, I've missed them, to do anything but move it back down to two-lane once you get over on the eastern shore. Yeah. So then you'll have a bottleneck there, the way things look right now.
Seems like you would, yeah.
Text here, I have a suggestion on the tunnel. Let Biden come down and we'll rename the tunnel the border, and it should flow through a lot faster.
That was a good one earlier today. Text line, by the way, same one if you wanted to call us, 343-0106. And, of course, you want to leave a voicemail. The app is super.
Mm-hmm.
You can just download the FM Talk 106.5 app. You look for it, Google Play Store or wherever you get your apps, and you don't put in the dot. Dalton says that confuses the search.
Poor little search engine.
FM Talk 106.5, and you'll see our logo. Click it, and off you go.
Yeah, and people are worried about this turning into a Terminator situation. Can't even parse decimals from just a normal search. These dumb search engines. Okay, I'm probably going to be like attacked by a machine later. This texter says, if the truckers and RVs would stay in the right-hand lane, it would reduce the problems. The trucks continue to get in the left lane and can't pull the hill exiting the tunnel more than 10 to 15 miles an hour. Another texter letting us know westbound was also diverted yesterday. This is noon to 6, by the way, and they're doing it again today. Texter said a lot of ticked off truckers, but it did seem to make a difference. Charles says, although I'm not a trucker, I was on the Bayway yesterday. Only semi-trucks were diverted, and I still got stopped in traffic. I don't think the problem lies with the semi. It's the people panicking. Text there from Charles. And let's see. Getting so many from this morning. Houndstooth says, yeah, I was coming across the bay 4:30 yesterday. There was a cop right at the exit out of his car before the tunnel, and he about caused a massive wreck himself.
Well,
my knees would be shaken if I was the policeman asked to get out there on the interstate and try to...
Hey, Doug! Hey, Doug, come on here in the back. We got to tell you what your assignment is today. So, Doug, stop crying. It's going to be okay.
That's tough. Tony says, watch, no trucks on the Bayway, and there will be just as much traffic and delays showing trucks are not the problem. That's one of many texts we've gotten this morning. And also on the phone line, let's see who we have here. We'll go to line one over there, and it looks like we got Freddie. Mm. Hey, Freddie, what you got for us?
Hey, man, I suggested to ALDOT when all this toll stuff come up that they do, just like the hurricanes, just do it on the weekends. On Fridays, you take and you reverse traffic flow on the westbound lanes and send everybody east, probably do it around Texas Street or maybe even Michigan Avenue, and then put them back together over there around Malvis. And then on Sundays coming back, you flip them the other way and just divert everybody onto the causeway. So I think that would be a way to take and help alleviate some of the bottleneck that you end up with just a tunnel, actually.
I'm going to write that down with a thick crayon and fax it over to ALDOT right now and see if they take that seriously or
good
not.
Good stuff, Freddie. We know you've been working on... you've been working on bridge solutions for a while, so we appreciate your input.
Thank you for listening, Freddie. Thanks for the call, buddy.
That's Freddie from Mobile, a big-time caller when we talk about the bridge. Hey, coming up on the Jeff Poor Show.
Let me know.
In minutes, we got State Senator Chris Elliott, Jeff's returning champion, as he likes to call him. Also, April Marie Fogle in the second hour. Then the third hour. I've had a lot of people asking. They don't want to miss this. Richard Scrushy will be on with Jeff Poor, a former HealthSouth CEO. Face charges and some jail time, and then he'll wrap it up with former State Senator Rusty Glover on the show. So some good stuff there coming up on the Jeff Poor Show and the Midday Mobile that follows. And again, if you want to listen to my daughter doing the Pledge of Allegiance with a little bit of, I think we had the Boston Pops in the background there.
It was great.
Had a eagle, bald eagle screeching.
Mm-hmm.
Had flyover and Chants of USA. That'll be up on our Facebook page here in just a little bit.
So and again, one of our lead stories again this morning, a story that developed very late in the show. Louis Arata has not been arrested in McConnell on the motor. Louis Arata is walking free at this moment.
So you can still buy a vehicle there from Louis.
He's a person of interest, but no arrest has been made with Louis at McConnell. The cops came, man. I didn't know what's going on, Louis? This is a car commercial. How did the cops get involved?
Good stuff.
859 FM Talk 106.5, Dan and Dalton.